Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Great form by you hitting play on this podcast. Now, check out Same Racer, the brand new racing app for same race multi-tips. Same Racer. Download from the App Store and Google Play. Powered by Bluebet.
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Tennis Direct are Australia's favourite online tennis store with fast delivery and great prices. Free delivery on orders over $150. Just visit their website, tennisdirect.com.au, and you can get a 10% discount store-wide. Just use the promo code FIRSTSERVE10. That's FIRSTSERVE10.
In the Huddle was created to give student athletes, parents and coaches an inside look at the journey through US college sport and all that comes with it. The demands, the experiences, the excitement and the opportunities available to our student athletes from around the world. Study and Play USA facilitates a comprehensive, customized approach for student athletes and families for their whole journey, from their high school preparation years right through to US college graduation.
Welcome to this episode of In the Huddle. For the next few moments, we're going to talk about transition. In other episodes, we've heard from some of our US college graduates and their transition out of high school and into college, and then from college out into the working world. So for those who like to plan ahead for their future, this episode is a must listen. We're joined in this episode by Alex Opacic himself, a former college student athlete who is so passionate about this transition beyond college that he started a business called Athlete to Business. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate you having me on board. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty cool topic, and I think it's something that we don't probably talk about enough, and probably not enough people know enough about. So, I'm really looking forward to hearing your insight. But maybe we might start by, I had a good research of your website, Athlete to Business website. Can you tell us about your company and what's your mission?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll start with the mission and then I'll tell you a bit about the company. But the mission is, or it's kind of purpose, but essentially is I want to help athletes find their purpose post sport. That's what the business is about. And we do that through career upskilling and education, and then ultimately job placement. So the core function of the business is placing former elite athletes, so retired elite athletes, or those who are elite athletes who have scope to work part-time or full-time, like you'll find some Olympians do. And we place them within corporate jobs, within companies who value the athlete's unique skills and experiences, and within companies who have an athlete-friendly culture as well. So just I can go all day about what an athlete-friendly culture looks like. One of the biggest things for me is, instead of having a manager, to have a coach. You know, that's one of the big areas I found I didn't like and liked when I transitioned into the corporate space. When I had a manager, it just wasn't the best fit. But when I had a coach, that's when I felt at home, you know, like you do in sport. So even in sport, you'll have some, you know, I had some coaches who were more rulers, or this is how it is, as opposed to coaches, you know, mentoring you and coaching you properly. So that's one of the things I look for in placing athletes in an environment where they can learn, grow, be themselves, and be the best version they can be in the working world.
Well, that's good. It's a pretty good summary, I think. I like the word, a coach culture. I like the concept of that. I think that's really important, because, as you know, we are wired a little bit differently as athletes. Yes. It looks like you've filled a gap in the market, really, for something like this. It's, you know, so you're obviously working with professional athletes transitioning out of their sports careers into the next phase of their lives as well, but also working with US college graduates, as you just said, they emerge from, you know, an awesome 4-year experience, they're returning home, and and ready to start that, you know, the next chapter. But I guess, you know, like no matter what path athletes take, whether it's whether they want to go pro or want to go to college or go pro via college, I mean, there's going to be a day when they need to transition into a different world of employment in most cases, you know. If we focus on professional athletes first, Alex, if we just focus on the pros, what are some of the challenges that you find that they're facing when they finish their sporting careers?
Two levels of challenges. There's one, there's the emotional and psychological side, and then the other is technical. But I'll touch on the technical in terms of the challenges of transitioning into some sort of career next. And the big, especially now in this COVID world, the biggest challenge I've found with athletes is lack of relevant industry experience. And it's, how do you get experience without getting a chance somewhere? It's one of those things. And I completely resonate with that. You know, it's a good question. And it's unfortunate the way that employers are thinking right now, because there's an abundance of talent out in the market, you know, a lot of redundancies, people being let go. It's very hard, especially for a student graduate, student athlete to come into the corporate space right now. Most companies are looking for someone with at least 1 or 2 years relevant experience within the industry, right? So that's one challenge, and there's ways that you can tackle that, and we can go into it. And then the other challenge is just like uncertainty. But a lot of people go through this: is what do I want to do next? How do I go about it? You know, especially most young people, they want to work within something that they're highly passionate about straight away, straight out of college. And you know, it takes time, it takes patience, It took me 10 years to find something that I'm passionate about post sport, and I had no patience, and got there eventually. But those are the things. It's the emotional and psychological side of things, or the mental side of things, is uncertainty, unfulfillment. What do I do next? What's my skill set? And then the other one is the technicality side of things, is just lack of experience. So those are the challenges I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I think, like, from a pro point of view, like, we read about it all the time with some of the, probably our better known athletes who've done very well at the Olympic level or professional level. And they come out of something where they get a fairly, you know, they're getting quite a bit of adulation from the public, and there's the adrenaline rush of competing, and sometimes in front of big crowds and things like that. I'd imagine stepping out of that and then going into a corporate place where that life is over and this is a new life is big. And then I guess in some cases you've got in that sport is all they know. You know, they might have been a child prodigy and really never don't have any formal qualification and things like that for some of the pros. And I suppose that would be, I guess that'd be a challenge from a pro side of things, right?
Definitely. Yeah, that's a big challenge from a pro side of things is, you touched on it, and I'll go back to saying earlier, I look for companies with an athlete-friendly culture, and one of the other aspects is that adrenaline rush from sport. I find most athletes, you know, I did as well, that you miss that adrenaline rush from sport, and I try and find company cultures where you get a glimpse of that adrenaline rush, or, you know, it's never going to be replicated to the same way, because you're not going to sit in front of a computer with thousands of people cheering you on, great typing. You know,
yeah.
Speech. You can certainly get it from presentations and maybe keynote speeches you might give here and there. That's a bit of an adrenaline rush. I find most athletes train, and the core couple of roles that I place athletes in is sales and business development. I find most athletes find that adrenaline rush within a sales type of environment, or an entrepreneurial type of environment as well. I certainly found that adrenaline rush there as well. Especially the professionals you have to give your 100% energy and focus on your sport. Otherwise you don't become a professional athlete. It's going to be hard for you to compete. You know what I mean? So you got to give all your energy into it. But there are certain things that I speak to athletes about who are in that spot. You just have to find a way to do something else, and where you can and upskill yourself as much as possible.
Yeah, no, that's a key point. I think basically what you really said there was like, you know, athletes are competitive by nature, so getting a competitive environment as well, right? You know, so sales and in a sense, it is a competition in a way, sales within a company. And I always remember, again, I've came straight out of college and I worked for a publications firm in Oklahoma City. And that was my first job out of college, and hopelessly unprepared for that job. But they saw something in me, I guess. You know, I guess it might have been the athlete thing, because the interview sure wasn't that great. But got the job, and my very first sales meeting, very, very blokey, male-dominated sort of company, sales-driven. And I remember my first week, I made $400 worth of sales, and I've got guys that are high flyers are getting $45,000 worth of sales and putting it all up on the board. And I'll never forget when I made my, when I announced what I sold that week, you know, standing ovation, the owner and his wife came out with a cake with a big Aussie flag on it. And yeah. You know, classic American, but classically American, right? Really making me feel really good. And I knew that I'd had a pretty average week, to be honest, but I sort of loved that, you know. And then I saw, right, and then I could see everyone else's numbers, and then the competitive side of me said, okay, I can do better than this next week, I'm going to nail this. And, that was the best company I could possibly have transitioned into, because it was just there's so many people who wanted to help me, and then there was so many people to compete with, you know. And then there was a few bonuses and trips to the Bahamas and things like that if we could reach certain targets. So that just appealed to the athlete straight away.
Absolutely. That's a great example of an athlete-friendly culture right there.
Yeah.
100%. And that's the type of companies I try and partner with as much as I can.
Yeah, it was a hard one to leave. I eventually came back to Australia. That was fun. So, no, that when you mentioned that culture, that reminded me of that. So I thought I'd share that with you. But mate, if we just sort of stick on, go back out of the pro thing and then probably focus more on the student athletes now, transition. But mate, talk about yourself for a moment. I sort of mentioned at the top you are a student athlete, but can you just tell us quickly about your college experience? And you're a basketballer, right?
Yes. So I started playing really elite level at the Australian Institute of Sport in Canberra. I was there for a year, and then after that I got a scholarship to Furman University. It's a small D1 school in South Carolina. I think 6 months or so after the AIS, it was August, I went in July. I did summer school and started my 4 year stint in South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. But initially it was a bit of a tough transition getting used to the culture, mate. But it was quickly, you know, it took me a couple of months or so to get used to it. And I absolutely loved it. It was probably, one of the best 4 years of my life, as I'm sure you know, and most student athletes know. It's amazing over there. You know, I recommend it to anyone. I got two little daughters now, and they're 2.5 and a 7-month-old. I'm already having plans for them to go to college in the US. Do you know what I mean? Like I highly recommend it for anyone. It was just an amazing experience.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, mate. And can you tell us what did you end up studying and how did you, how was that transition when you graduated? Did you stay over there and work? Did you do some internships along the way? How did the academic side of things fall into place?
Well, if I'm honest, I'll probably say I was a little bit irresponsible. I went there purely from that athlete mindset. You know, you're a student athlete, but I ignorantly called myself, and as most athletes do, is an athlete student. So I studied communication, just kind of fell into it. I battled around a variety of different things to try and study, but I just found I couldn't focus, and I found it too hard. And I kind of, not that communications is easy, but I think it just fit my personality the most. And that's what I ended up studying, which was a pretty, very fun and interesting degree. I enjoyed it. And I probably didn't apply myself as much as I'd like to or should have in studies. I regret that a little bit, but I still, you know, you kind of don't know. Subconsciously, I learned so much and engraved, you know, my communication skills went up tenfold. Just my general confidence went up tenfold. And you don't know at the time when you're going through this. I came out of college thinking, I don't know if I learned anything. I don't know. But 4 or 5 years later, I learned a lot. Like even now, to this day, geez, I learned so much in college. And if I had to do it again, I would have liked to be more aware of that, of what I'm learning and what was coming into me subconsciously. I would have liked to be aware of it more consciously. If that makes sense, I might be blabbering here, but that's the best.
No, not at all.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's did a communication degree. Basketball was a massive focus. You know, I had dreams of playing professionally, and pretty much a couple of months after graduating, I got a professional gig to play basketball in Europe. So I didn't stay in the US. I had a sign with an agent, and I was trying to get a professional contract as soon as possible. And I did. I ended up going to Greece, and then that's where my professional career started straight away. So I went from, I remember graduating, going through the that whole graduation parties and all that stuff, and then flying home to Sydney for a few weeks and then going straight to Greece. So it's all kind of happened quick.
Yeah, it's I'd imagine that's a talk about transition, right? That's a pretty swift one. But yeah, look, you weren't babbling there at all. It's very much resonate with your experience as well. Yeah, I think the only regret I have in college is I wish I knew what I knew now, like in terms of starting it again and having a different approach to study and things like that, right? And probably start planning my future a little bit in college, which I want to talk to you about shortly as well, in terms of what our current kids can be doing over there to prepare. But I'll come back to that. But that's an interesting perspective. So with your, and I suppose all of that experience is a big driver for what you've started, right? Athlete to business, your personal experience.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how the whole idea behind the business started. So I alluded to my lack of non-basketball awareness was horrible. All my energy and focus was on basketball and nothing else. So then I went and played professionally straight away, which I thought was awesome and great. And looking back on it, probably wasn't. 2 years into my professional career in Europe, I hurt my knee and had to get knee surgery. And long story short, I had 3 knee surgeries and ended up finishing my career. So it all kind of came to a halt pretty quickly. In between some of the knee surgeries there as well, I played semi-professionally in Australia. In Siebel, which was good. We won the championship in 2012. I always like to throw that in. But I wasn't the same player as I used to be. So that transition from professional basketball player to kind of the corporate world or my next stage of life was really poor for me, really, really bad. Like I was just absolutely clueless about anything else outside of basketball because I just never, and not just the technicality side of things, but you know how it is as an athlete, you're chasing a dream. You have a purpose in the morning. You wake up, you've got a training. You're going to try and win games and try and win championships. You want to be the best that you can be. So that application as a human being is a great feeling. Once basketball stopped, I had no feeling like that. I was like, what am I striving towards now? What's my purpose? What's my dream? What am I chasing? It was nothing. So that I struggled with that feeling for about a couple of years, to be honest. I just had no idea. And It was a massive mental struggle for me, until I landed on my feet in a small town called Albury Wodonga. You probably heard of it. Where I played Siebel, and I just said to myself, I'm just going to have to apply myself into something else outside of basketball somehow. And I fell into sales and just started transferring all those high performing habits from sport into sales. And then that's really where my kind of entrepreneurial journey started. And dreaming for something else, for a bigger purpose. That's through it, where it all started. But it took me some time to kind of figure out what's next and where do I go. So the reason behind Athlete to Business is I noticed the correlation with high performance in sales and former athletes. So that's the one side of things. But I also noticed that a lot of other athletes struggle with that transition piece. So I want to educate and upskill and train athletes on how to best transition to transition better than I did, essentially. So that's how the business started.
Fantastic. Yeah, thanks for sharing all your story, because I think there's so many people that potentially listening, whether they're former athletes, former student athletes, or current, probably identify with that. But I think just listening to you and then thinking about, obviously just resonating with my own situation, and I think these days, because we're meeting with a lot of families that are thinking about sending their sons and daughters over to America, and one of the main questions that comes up is employability beyond college, and it's an important question, and I think it's a sign of the times. I think we seem to be a little more planned and organized these days in terms of, I had no plan when I went to college. I just wanted to get the best scholarship I could at the best program where I can get the best tennis for me.
Yeah.
And sounds like you for basketball, right? But
yeah.
I think now if I could create, and I say this to every family we meet, if we could create the perfect pathway for 4 years or perfect 4 years, okay, yes, we need the sporting fit. That's crucial, right? Most families will need a scholarship that's handy and within their budget. Most people too now are academically probably a little bit more organized than perhaps you and I were when we went to college. I think schools do a little bit of a better job at that these days, maybe. But it's also the other thing that I tell them is it's your opportunity to network when you're in America and start planning for your future. So use those 4 years to plan for the next phase. Don't wait until you finish and then say next what. So what next? Sorry. So I think, I think despite the challenges that these student athletes face that we've sort of talked about, we see it a lot with our student athletes. They have, when we talk about employability, they do have a lot of traits that separate them sometimes from non-athletes, and that's no disrespect to non-athletes, obviously.
But
we see like through our work, mate, that they got a point of difference both in the US post-graduation if they want to work and they've got that opportunity, or back in their home country. And just looking at your website, Alex, I noticed you've got a page devoted there to business owners and employers, to demonstrate why former athletes are so employable. And if we look at some of that, I've just written down some of these, like highly motivated, highly focused, competitive, we've talked about that. Exceptionally disciplined, I really like that one, because you have to be, resilient, driven, coachable is a huge one, I think, these days too. So that's just a few of them. But can you talk through some of these and what you see in your daily operations there, and how those traits translate to opportunities for employment?
I could go on all day about this. Obviously a passionate topic of mine as well, but first of all, student athletes are highly employable, especially in the US. There's a lot of businesses who just look for student athletes, and it's becoming more prevalent here in Australia now as well. So a few reasons, and they know this in the US, but it's becoming more known in Australia. A student athlete in the US is essentially a professional athlete. Like, you know that. You train like a professional athlete, and you're competing at such a high level against some of the best players or athletes or competitors in the world of your age. Everybody is trying to go to the US to be a student athlete. Make no mistake about it. So you're competing at a very, very, very high level in sport like a professional athlete, yet you're also in a very high pressure situation academically as well. So there's only 24 hours in the day, or I don't know, 14 hours in the day. The rest you've got to sleep, hopefully. How do you fit all that in a day? And the biggest thing is you have to be highly disciplined. So that's one of the biggest traits of student athletes. The other one is, you know, and I'm going to focus here specifically in Australia for a second, and I know it's in the US as well, but the most in-demand skill that I'm seeing from employers right now in the market is emotional intelligence, right? So communication skills and emotional intelligence, that's a big one. And it's hard to teach emotional intelligence. I think it comes with life experience. And you'll be surprised, I mean, maybe you're not surprised, but some people might be surprised. How many employers go to me and say, hey, Alex, look, yeah, it sounds great. I want to employ an athlete or someone who's this one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in general, I want someone who's maybe traveled around the world, someone who's got some life experience about him, someone who's had to struggle for certain things. And then I'll describe to an employer of what a student athlete looks like and what they do. And mate, absolutely love, yet find someone like that for me. So you probably know this and you might not, but no, it's just how it is. The Australian culture is obviously not as big as the US in terms of that student athlete side of things. And there's a lot of employers in Australia who just have no idea of what a student athlete does or what a student athlete is. Rightfully so, fair enough. It's just not the type of culture that we have here. So I'm trying to raise awareness of that more and more. But I find those who do know what a student athlete is a no-brainer, highly employable. You're a superhuman, I think. A student athlete, superhuman. So, yeah, there's so many employable because of those reasons.
Man, I'm gonna now call student athletes from now on superhumans, and they're going to love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. It's a huge... That's what's, you know, it's very, very hard for us to get that across sometimes to families in Australia that are coming out of the Australian culture, as you said, probably not aware of the American attitude or culture or status that a student athlete may have. But what we try and tell people is that your status is elevated once you become a student athlete. And when you graduate, it's a heck of achievement. Heck of an achievement. And again, in Australia, we get bogged down a little bit on, oh, I really got to get the right course. You know, it's got to be exactly what I want. I don't know what it is. And whereas you get to America, as you know, you can mix and match a little bit. You can experiment with courses and eventually, but very bluntly, I actually think the actual degree that you get is less important than the experience itself.
Massively agree.
You know, it's a huge one, and I think, you know, when a student athlete or superhuman comes home from the US college experience, I think their number one asset is just that, a US college experience, there's nothing wrong with studying in your home country, as we know, but there's something to be said for the benefits of living away from home and the independence, maturity, and a different perspective. I think that's, you know, we call them pile toppers. You know, your resume is probably, you're going to get into a short list. Okay, you know, employer is reading through resumes and probably sees, you know, the same sort of high schools and universities and a little bit of the sameness to the resume.
Yeah.
Oh, went to Furman University. Okay, 4 years scholarship. Okay, got a degree. Okay, I need to interview this guy. I think I need to talk to him or talk to her because I think they're going to have a unique perspective, a worldly perspective perhaps that others may not. So that's my take.
And well, Matt, you'll be surprised how many interviews I got that I was way underqualified for. As in, I wasn't qualified for it at all with companies purely because I saw Furman University on my resume. You know, it's just a quick Google search these days and you can find out what the school does, regardless of just that experience. And there was a lot of interviews that I just wasn't prepared for that I went to, you know, probably 20K higher salaries to what I was worth as well, 10 to 20K, I remember. I actually ended up getting a job, I remember, for a business. And I'll just be blunt, this is, you know, 10 years ago and my starting salary was 80K. There's no chance that's an entry-level role even today, no chance. And I was fired within 2 months because I had no idea what I was doing. But it just goes to say that's why I've started this business. And a lot of people are smarter than I am that are coming out. But why I started this business is to kind of educate student athletes on how to use that experience to gain better employment, to get a competitive advantage, not just to gain employment, but to get a competitive advantage in the workforce. You know, I ended up using that student athlete story throughout my sales cycle, and I still do. Obviously, it's part of the business story. And as you said, people just find it interesting. People want to be surrounded by interesting people, not sameness. Sameness is boring. Different is interesting. That's one of the biggest assets that you can gain by being a student athlete.
Yeah, it's just interesting listening to you and your, you know, the interview. Obviously, you got the job, but then, you know, struggled a little bit with the actual job because of lack of experience and things like that. But
mentally
not ready for that. So I think really what I've just picked up from what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is take the US college experience. No one can take that from you. That's a very unique thing. That's an asset on your resume, but add preparation to that. And you know, the world's your oyster a little bit, right? So
100%.
I think that's what I've picked up from what you just said. So, I mean, just on that note, Alex, obviously we got a lot of listeners in more and more with each episode that passes, which is great. But we got some parents and athletes out there, parents of athletes out there. You know, maybe they're about to embark on a US college journey, or you might have some student athletes themselves listening to this in their dorm rooms in the US. How do you help? Let's just give you a scenario. There's a girl, soccer player, sitting in America right now listening to this, and you know, 1 year in or second year of college, you know, how you know, if you were to get in touch with her, for example, or she was to get in touch with you, how do you help that athlete right now start to prepare for you know, life out of college?
Obviously it's each individual case, and in depending on if that person has some idea of what they want to do, even if they don't, this would apply as well. But the biggest thing I would say, so I'm just going to talk around the technicalities and actual actionable tips outside of there's a program that I've designed, which I call Another Plan A, so that's why I would have to go in depending on the person and go a completely different way. But long story short, Another Plan A essentially helps athletes find another passion or another purpose that they're as passionate about as their sport. So not a plan B. You know, I had plan B, and the communication degree was my plan B. I wanted to work in PR. I don't know why. PR sounded interesting to me. I'm like, yeah, I want to work in public relations. That's where I want to work after basketball. That's my plan B, right? Never eventuated because it's a plan B. So I always tell athletes, you got to find something that you're as passionate about as your sport right now. So, speak to your professors. Just talk about the real world. Connect with, as a student athlete, you have access to sponsors and corporates and business professionals who are sponsoring your scholarship, right? And you probably have all these networking events all the time, probably digitally now. Just ask them questions. Ask them, hey, give me some advice on how to best transition into the corporate space. What do you think I would fit for? What should I do? So that's one way. One thing, if you're kind of unsure, speak to people who have been there, done that. I will go as far, the best thing that I've done for my business is find a mentor. So someone who has been to where I want to be. So long story short, he's a 40 years CEO in the recruitment space. You know, I want to be that. So I went and found this guy, and now he's my mentor. So find somebody, and most likely if you're a student athlete, it's going to be somebody within your close circles, within the city that you're in, who's a successful business person, sponsoring your program. So speak to those people. Just speak to them, find out, be open and be vulnerable. Like be vulnerable as much as you can, man. The best thing I've done is just started being vulnerable with my business and about my personal stories and struggles and failures, and it's gotten so much attention, and it's where I generate leads from a business point of view. But if I'm going to be a bit more technical on that, start using LinkedIn is, get off Instagram and get off Facebook as much as you can. Just get off it. Minimize on how you use it. Minimize your time. I think the amount of time that young people use Instagram these days, switch that around to LinkedIn. Spend all that time on LinkedIn and network with industry professionals, work on your profile, start a blog. Just start a blog about something that you're interested in. And when you graduate, that's how you battle that experience thing, right? So you come on a job interview, great, you're a student athlete, you know, you've done this, 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 but you just don't have enough experience as a PR agent in public relations and whatnot. Well, actually, check out my blog, right? Like, that's so powerful. That's so powerful. Even a blog or a vlog as well. Just get active on LinkedIn. And I do a variety of LinkedIn courses and help athletes. But it's nothing a quick Google search can help you out. You know, how to best maximize my LinkedIn profile. That's the technical tip. So I don't want to say a lot here. There's a variety of ways, but if I could kind of, the best thing that you can do right now is maximize your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, and also I love what you said about the networking. And it's just, again, very, very hard to explain to people that haven't been to America, certainly not as a student athlete, is that Americans love giving opportunities. It's the land of opportunity, as they say. And they love giving opportunities to student athletes. As you say, that they're intrigued by student athletes. 99% of Americans have never been a student athlete. So you're in a fairly unique situation to be getting these opportunities. And obviously being Australian or being international makes you stand out from the crowd, and then you get alumni, as you just mentioned, will come and plug you in, you know, and say, hey, what are you doing this summer? Well, I'm going back to Australia. Hey, no, you're not. I've got an internship here for you at Silicon Valley. Take it.
Boom. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, the two words I you know, say yes. They're the two words I say, you know, kids, when you get any opportunity of opportunities, just take it. Might not be even in the field that you're interested in at that point, but it's going to teach you something.
So, on that point, this is really important. Where I struggled is you don't have to do something that you're interested in or passionate about straight away. Just go do something. Even if you're the mailman in campus, just do something and extrapolate that on your resume when you have to. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And again, you know, I think listening to your story, it sounds pretty similar to mine. So it must mean that there's a lot of people out with a similar story. But I think ultimately it's you've got to constantly evolve and constantly not beat yourself up if things don't go to plan. That's a big thing, I think, too. You know, like we like to be organized and plan, but you know, plans are meant to change sometimes. And you know,
most of the time.
I think when I was in year 10, Alex, I was dreaming of being at Wimbledon, like much like you were dreaming of playing in the NBA, I'm sure. And as a result, I did very little schoolwork and was lucky enough to even get into college, to be honest, because of my lack of focus academically. But so I went from school to wanting to be a pro to trying pro before I went to college, which back then the rules allowed temporarily. I guess a failed professional foray, wasn't quite good enough, wasn't ready. College, great, develop. And then I left college twice, wanted to go play professionally again, and found out the hard way that I just wasn't, it was a long way off for me, if at all. So then, you know, America take three was, okay, let's get a degree. And then I actually became a student for the first time, really focused on that. And then got a business degree, came back to Australia and decided to be a teacher. Okay, and then loved every minute of all of that, and then started studying Play USA and been doing that ever since. So that's a roller coaster. That's not a direct path to now.
Yeah.
That's every bit of that was awesome, challenging at times, but I think that's just resonates with me as well. What you just said, how don't, you know, be patient. Things don't always work out, you know, the way you planned it as well.
But if you like you did, and I think I did as well, if you give it your best and your all with and your all energy with whatever you're doing, the universe somehow finds a way to make things work out for you.
Totally. Yeah. What does that say? The harder you work, the luckier you get, and those types of things.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you complain about the job you hate, and you know, blah blah blah, and you're just not happy, and, you know, you're not doing something you're passionate about, or I'm a failed athlete, you know, shit. it didn't go the way I wanted to go. If you have that mindset, then you'll attract that type of mindset of people, negativity, blah, blah, blah. You know, I did. As soon as I switched my mindset to, you know what, I'm just going to do as best as I can, and I have faith that something of passion or purpose will find me. And it did. So that's a great point.
No, I think, Alex, very good point to probably wrap up, mate. And it's really been a pleasure chatting. And as I said, I'm pleased there are people like you and your company, you know, athlete to business out there who are here to help our young student athletes as they prepare for their post-college journey. So it's a very important topic to us, as you can probably tell, and to all parents of athletes and athletes themselves, because I think we all seek that purpose, as you've mentioned, and happiness in any transition we make in life. So again, thank you, Alex, and for coming on In The Huddle, and we look forward to keeping in touch.
Yeah, definitely. No, thank you for having me on. That was fun. I'm sure we could talk for hours more.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll share some more college stories next time, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Trip down memory lane. No, thanks again, Alex.
Thank you. Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Subscribe to The First Serve via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform to listen at your convenience to all our weekly content, including past editions of In The Huddle, produced by Study & Play USA, as well as our dedicated commercial radio program each Monday on SEN that you may have missed at 7 p.m. Eastern, Aussies only, and Crunching the Numbers. Subscribe to The First Serve, your home of tennis.
G'day, Mike Hussey here. Get on board Australia's best fantasy cricket game, KFC Supercoach BBL. It's fun, free and easy to play. Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.